think I'm entitled?
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning and got myself a gun. Mama always
said I'd be the chosen one. U.S. troops near Baghdad, Iraq, were targeted in a drone and rocket attack just minutes before President Biden's address last night from the Oval Office. In fact, all week, U.S. troops have repeatedly been attacked in Iraq and Syria, with some incidents leading to minor injuries. A U.S. Navy destroyer also intercepting several missiles fired by Houthi militants near the coast of Yemen yesterday.
Yeah, these are Iranian-backed Shia militia groups that are targeting U.S. troops. You know for a fact that these are the Iranian-type drones that are making these attacks. That'll come out once they do an investigation if there's pieces of the drones left after we shot them down. But that's the typical modus operandi of the Iranians. They used money to build these drones and missiles and all of that to attack U.S. troops and Israelis and also back Hamas, Hezbollah, all these different terrorist organizations. And the Biden administration is the ones that have opened up the finances for the Iranians. Give them $6 billion. And it's weeks after that that suddenly all the Hamas is attacking Israel. It's not a coincidence. This administration has made the Middle East less safe. They've made Americans less safe. And it's because of their horrible foreign affairs policy of appeasement to the Iranians and the Palestinians that has caused terror across the Middle East.
He's right on point. And then it's Florida Congressman Greg Stube talking about trying to appease Iran. You cannot appease Iran. You cannot buy their friendship. This $6 billion we were going to unfreeze from Qatar so they could have access to it. And now apparently that has been refrozen. Good. But I'll point out to you again, even that $6 billion gift pales in comparison to what the Biden administration has been doing with Iran and not controlling and tightening the sanctions. They made $100 billion plus from oil deals that we know of. Again, trying to be nice to the Iranians, like then they would turn around and be nice to you. I do want to bring you up to speed again. We've been told, and reports are coming out, that a mother and a daughter were released by Hamas. And Hamas, of course, playing it as they should, and you would expect. Their PR spin is underway. Well, they needed more help than we could provide for them. And for humanitarian reasons, we're releasing this mother and child. I'm going to assume, and this could be a bad assumption, that the mother and child were not sexually abused while they were being held or first captured. Because we know in many cases when Hamas invaded Israel, October the 7th, there December 7th to that extent, they were slaughtering civilians left and right, raping young women in front of their children or their parents, killing, beheading toddlers, babies. But this act of releasing these two, that should garner a lot of goodwill. No, it does not. I'm not going to be satisfied until all of them are free and every Hamas member who took part in those atrocities, hell falls upon their head. And the IDF is reporting, the Israeli Defense Force reporting, that most of the hostages appear to be alive. How would they know that? Well, we're going to get into that in more detail. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, October 20, 2023. Second hour of Larry Connors USA. We're here Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. If you miss anything, you can pull it up at LarryConnorsUSA.com. And, of course, while on the air, we're streaming video. Larry Connors USA Facebook and Larry Connors USA Twitter. Same thing on News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter and on Rumble. There are a lot of ways to watch or listen. If you miss anything, you can easily find it and simply by going to LarryConnorsUSA.com, subscribe. Push that button, subscribe, and we'll make sure it gets sent to you daily so you don't miss anything. Now, if the IDF is reporting that most hostages are still alive, then that's indicating that what we'd heard earlier is indeed a fact. We just can't have a lot of details, nor should we right now, because we don't want those intel agents in more jeopardy than they are. But they've apparently been able to breach and go into Gaza City undetected and grab some of the terrorists and take them out of Gaza and learn more about the hostages. Now, that's a big key point. Are we getting the best we can to get out of there? And we know that some U.S. intel hostage specialists have been sent into the region, now possibly taking part along with Israeli special forces and United Kingdom special forces with the prime purpose of rescuing, not going in to kill, but rescue. And again, back to that extent, Florida Congressman Greg Stube talking about what is needed from the Biden administration.
The Biden administration and his speech yesterday said nothing about the hostages that are being held, American hostages that are being held by Hamas terrorists. Why are we not doing what we can to get those people back to America? He's doing a show of force by putting aircraft carriers there, but they're obviously not wanting to do any type of action. I think that's wrong. I think when we have Americans that have been captured by terrorists, we should go get them. We shouldn't be paying money to the Iranians, who then give money to Hamas. And now he wants to give $100 million more to the Palestinian Authority, which is going to go directly to Hamas. This administration is funding the war against Israel. And those people have, I think it's 20 now hostages or 30 hostages of American citizens. And this administration's not doing anything about it.
Now, those remarks by Congressman Stube of Florida made before the word came out that some hostages have been released, two of them, and that we have from the IDF word that they know where most of the hostages are. But his point is real clear on the fact that every bit of dollar we send to Iran ends up going to those who want to kill Israel and wipe them out. That's the prime takeaway from that. And the effort, and one other thing I have to add in defense of President Biden, when he said he didn't even mention it, he did. He mentioned it briefly and said, well, there's a lot I can't say right now, but we're doing what we can. And that was pretty much it. But he didn't do a lot to say other than it's my promise, we'll do everything we can to get them out. I couldn't expect more from him on that particular point. I could expect a better detailed focused speech last night on just the dealing with Israel and Hamas, not throw in Ukraine and an option to throw more money into Ukraine, which he did. Now, Reverend Special Forces and what we're trying to get out of there, Don Bramer is a former naval intel officer, and he says it's clear that Israel is beginning to gather more and more intel.
This is not just an issue on the Gaza border right now. This is expanding across every side of Israel, and is expanding in the region. One thing I do think that the Israelis are being very smart about is not being too hasty in their ground attack. You know, since October 7th, they've arrested or detained close to 600 Hamas operatives, just 60 last night. Several were key players with Hamas who, I believe, they're taking this as an opportunity to collect these operatives and gather as much intelligence as they can so that they might be able to find out where are those hostages, where are the Hamas strongholds. And the key thing here is you look at all of the missile strikes that Israel has sent in to Palestine have been very surgical. They have hit weapons depots, they have hit tunnels, and they have hit compounds that are holding Hamas.
And that's good. Precision strikes. But again, the former naval intel officer Don Bramer says we have a lot of bad actors in this region.
This is a tinderbox that could explode at any time. And it's important for the United States and our allies to remain resilient and stick together and support Israel because, as said earlier, Ukraine has its allies, but Israel is in this alone. And we've got to stand by them to keep that region stable, because we had peace for several years under President Trump, and now the world sees this entire accord, and it sees this administration as falling apart and not being a global leader. So they're going to take advantage of it and use every opportunity they can to supersede this president and take the region down.
And in fact, yesterday we began to see Yemen firing rockets targeting U.S. naval areas and air forces, and we did have some American injuries, not casualties fully. But the other point being, Maria saying a response and a statement from Iran indicates maybe they want to poke the bear some more.
An official for the Iran-backed Hezbollah militant group, meanwhile, reportedly warning that it is, quote, 1,000 times stronger than before, and that U.S., Israel, and other, quote, malicious Europeans should be careful, Don. Your thoughts on these warnings out of Hezbollah?
Well, at the same time that we keep asking our Congress for money for Israel, for Ukraine, we're giving money to Iran. And where do we think that money's going? That's what's making Iran stronger by the day. They're using these sources, even when they're not in their bank, they're using them to fund all these tentacles that we keep hearing about. We can't keep writing blank checks. I believe that Iran, its proxies, are really trying to look at every small step they can to provoke the United States. They're trying to provoke our allies. You know, we have, there's UK allies in the region that have put their ships, their planes. I think they're trying to provoke us and see what will it take to get us involved so that then it's not us getting involved because of Iran and Hezbollah. It's them getting involved because of actions that the United States has taken. So it's a provocative statement.
And they know the world media will pick up on their statement and blame the U.S. anyway, as the New York Times did, which we have a guest coming up to address that very issue in just a moment. But the speech last night from the president was a pitch for money, not just Ukraine, not just Israel, but anything he could throw into the package.
History has taught us that when terrorists don't pay a price for their terror, when dictators don't pay a price for their aggression, they cause more chaos and death and more destruction. They keep going, and the cost and the threats to America and the world keep rising. So if we don't stop Putin's appetite for power and control in Ukraine, he won't limit himself just to Ukraine. Putin's already threatened to remind Poland that their Western land was a gift from Russia. One of his top advisors, a former president of Russia, has called Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania Russia's Baltic provinces. These are all NATO allies. For 75 years, NATO has kept peace in Europe and has been the cornerstone of American security. And if Putin attacks a NATO ally, we will defend every inch of NATO which the treaty requires and calls for. We'll have something that we do not seek. Make it clear, we do not seek. We do not seek to have American troops fighting in Russia or fighting against Russia.
And according to the treaty, the NATO treaty, if Russia invades a NATO country, we are obliged to be directly involved with boots on the ground. Now, that's a sobering message. But I think many were tuning in last night to hear Biden talk about Israel, especially in light of the most recent atrocities. This is not to negate what has happened in Ukraine. But he had just come back from a meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu, and I think the American public was expecting something laser-guided to that point. The bill presentation he offered was $14 billion to Israel, $60 billion in funding to Ukraine, added to that a $10 billion in humanitarian aid to Ukraine and around the world, $14 billion for border funding addressing drug trafficking and fentanyl, $7 billion for the Indo-Pacific Taiwan. Trying to pull all the parties all together. They've all got to accept this omnibus bill. They don't, but they are going to try. And Biden also made a point that, hey, I was speaking to not just Ukraine, I was also speaking to on behalf of Israel.
I also spoke with President Abbas, the Palestinian Authority, and reiterated the United States remains committed to the Palestinian people's right to dignity and to self-determination. The actions of Hamas terrorists don't take that right away. Like so many other, I'm heartbroken by the tragic loss of Palestinian life, including the explosion at the hospital in Gaza, which was not done by the Israelis. We mourn every innocent life lost. We can't ignore the humanity of innocent Palestinians who only want to live in peace and have an opportunity. You know, the assault on Israel echoes nearly 20 months of war, tragedy, and brutality inflicted on the people of Ukraine.
That is true. Higher casualty counts there than in Israel. Part of it may come down to an emotional reaction from the public. If you're looking at it on a non-emotional level, Ukraine is a bigger theater of war right now, and more have been killed and will be killed as it is now. But, of course, if you widen the picture and the scope beyond that, a Mideast war involving all Arab countries and enemies of Israel could certainly escalate quickly to World War III, which we don't want. So Biden last night, in presenting this package, as I laid out for you, that included $14 billion for Israel, and my guest in the last hour, Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood of the Heritage Foundation, is certainly aware and admitted that, well, you have to look at the theater of war and what is needed and what they already have. And so $14 billion for Israel, $60 billion for funding to Ukraine. He said on that level it would make sense of what is needed, what they don't already have. I know that's going to be a bitter pill for some people to swallow, but it is a fact of making a decision. But the bottom line is, I think most people would love, just deal with Israel last night. Can you do that? That's where I think many are seeing a failing. And when it comes to the budget package overall, Missouri Senator Smith says, don't like it.
This is all about politics. It's meant to bootstrap other initiatives, let's say like Ukraine, that are less popular, that we've already spent $112 billion on, with something right now that has a lot of support with Israel. It's really cynical. It's what's wrong with Washington. But the main point here is, just like with our appropriations process, which, by the way, Chuck Schumer has spent 0.0 minutes this whole year debating any funding bill, any appropriations bill, we need to make sure we have those debates on those individual bills by themselves too. But the same is true with this foreign aid package. Separate it out. Let's have real debate. Let's consider this like we're supposed to be. The Senate is supposed to be a thoughtful place where you have real debate and you make important decisions. We're not doing any of that.
And I cannot let that go without pointing out the disarray of the House among the House Republicans. No bill, even if Schumer and the Senate made a decision on it, and Schmidt of Missouri is in the Senate, no bill is going to advance if you don't have the House in action. And, of course, right now the House is in total disarray, Republican side, and it's not good. And I'm not talking about it's not good for the look overall for now or even going into the next election, but for where we are dealing with the world stage issues right now. There'll be a break, and they'll come down, they'll be done, but then you're still going to have to scramble to catch up, get things moving. And that, unfortunately, will be an opportunity to shove more stuff in under the doorway and go back to Nancy Pelosi's approach on the Obamacare bill. Well, we won't really know what's in it until we vote for it. I do not want to go down that road again. Coming up, how the New York Times and others tried to trick you. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with a Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local. Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Till I found out that my brand new clothes came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Or feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniel, low number seven, Tennessee. Whiskey got me drinking in heaven and
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, for the last 2 days, my commentaries have focused on the New York Times debacle, how they ran with information direct from Hamas as if it were fact, and then started trying to backtrack, and then wrote a column trying to explain away as to why they had a reason, which I still say, you're either a journalist or you're a public relations outlet, one or the other. My guest dealing with that subject in more detail, Jordan Boyd, staff writer for The Federalist and also co-host of the, or co-producer of The Federalist Hour, Radio Hour. Jordan Boyd, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me.
So when I read your opening, it fit exactly with what I was saying. Your media corruption on full display as New York Times tries to justify publishing terrorist propaganda as news. Go ahead.
Right. I mean, that's exactly what we saw happen here is Hamas, the Gaza, controls the Gaza Strip. They issued this statement that Israel bombed one of their hospitals. And as the evidence unfurled, nothing could be further from the truth. So what we saw was not just the New York Times, but pretty much every main corporate media outlet in the U.S. latched onto this lie. And I think this really demonstrates the corruption that's on display here. I mean, if you look at any polls, there was one that came out yesterday, a majority of Americans know the media is corrupt. They consider them a threat to democracy. And apparently the terrorists know that too, because they can pitch their PR to someone like the New York Times and see it on the front page the next day without scrutiny, without questioning. None of that happened.
Yeah, there was no journalistic integrity involved. Now, the one thing they did, too, is, quote, add an attribution, but they were quoting and giving the attribution to a Hamas-controlled organization.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't see any remorse. We didn't see any retractions. We didn't see any corrections. All we saw was covertly modified headlines. And that's what happened in the New York Times yesterday, was to sort of justify their role in this amplifying terrorist propaganda. They published a piece called After Hospital Blast, Headline Shifts with Changing Claims. And they said, well, this is war. You know, things happen so fast. We just can't be expected to keep up with it. But the truth of the matter is they never tried to keep up with it in the first place.
No.
Because the evidence that this blast was from jihadists inside the strip, that it didn't actually kill hundreds of people, that it landed in a parking lot, not in the hospital. All of that evidence was on display within mere hours of the initial claims, and none of those corporate media outlets that published those slanderous, horrific pieces accusing Israel of war crimes retracted them.
There was a reporter for the BBC, a war correspondent, and I'm going to acknowledge he has more experience as a war correspondent than I am, and he was clearly stating, well, looking at the devastation here, from all I've seen, it could be nothing but a missile strike. In other words, this would not be even explosion in the hospital. It had to be a strike. And yet, at the same time, he did add, of course, it needs to be verified, as if that's an afterthought. Your first thought is to verify. And for him to make the assumption has to be a strike from based on everything I've seen. Like, I've seen one train wreck. I've seen all of them.
Exactly. It's completely messed up. And that's the thing. Even these outlets that, you know, took Israel out of the headline eventually, they kept words like strike. They insinuated that this hospital was leveled. The New York Times original story pictured this awful scene where people were searching through rubble looking for their loved ones. And it turned out the photo they used wasn't even related to the hospital that was in connection to this story. They just picked up some war-torn photo and put it on the front of their story because it advanced this narrative. So they can't sit there and tell us that, oh, this is an accident or we were just paraquoting, whenever they're implicitly and explicitly saying, hey, this is what we believe happened and you should too.
Well, members of the squad were doing the same thing, indicating, look at all these young people dead, and it was a video from Syria years ago.
That's the thing, is the corporate media solely exists in its state now, in 2023, solely exists to advance the agenda of radical Democrats and leftists. And we have seen nothing in the last 10 days but radical leftists embracing what happened in Israel, embracing this brutal attack, saying we stand with Palestine, we stand with the people who, if an election was held today in Gaza, Hamas would 100% win. We stand with those people against this massacre. We endorse it. You know, you can't say you stand with Palestine after all this happened and not expect people to understand that you are endorsing the tragedy.
Well, there was a reporter. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The New York Times publishing this is just fodder for these people. That's exactly why their headlines were effective. It doesn't matter if they change things now or not. They worked.
Well, there was a reporter chasing a member of the squad down the hallway asking, can you at least make a remark about babies' heads being chopped off? Do you think that's acceptable? She wouldn't even respond. I mean, I don't care how strong of a PLO supporter you are. Do you not draw a line at chopping off the heads of babies who would have nothing to do with your decades, centuries-old war over the land of Israel?
Right, and that's the thing, is when this baby's beheading story came out, when Israel released reports that that's what happened, corporate media was like, whoa, hold up.
Yeah.
We have to verify that before we publish it. We can't just walk around saying dangerous things like that. And if you sit back, you're going, okay, babies did die, right? Like, forget the nitpicking about beheading or not. Babies died at the hands of terrorists, but the corporate media didn't want to print that. They wanted to wait it out. And then when Hamas says Israel bombed a hospital and killed hundreds, even though that's not what happened, corporate media ran with it. You can't sit there and tell me there's not a political agenda happening here when you have two clear-cut examples within the span of a week like that.
Mossad had also intercepted communications between two Hamas terrorists talking about the rocket falling short and into the hospital area, and one of them almost in shock, couldn't fall somewhere else, you know, indicating that. But when that was released, immediately again, state-controlled media and others, well, how do we know this is not a fake tape? They questioned that right away.
Right, which is ridiculous, because it's a tape between two people who represent a group that happily endorses shielding their bodies with women and children, that is known for planting their munitions outside of hospitals and schools.
Right.
You know, I mean, why are we taking the word of people who have a track record of decades-long lies? That is just utterly ridiculous. There's no way for corporate media to come back from this mistake.
And today, CNN finally said, video appears to show Hamas rocket turning around and going toward the hospital. And now they say appears to show. If they thought it was an Israeli strike, and the video showing that said video shows an Israeli rocket hit the hospital area. but they put appears in and said, you know, it may not be right, but we're going to let you know that, yeah, it appears it might have come from Gaza, but we're not sure. We're not as sure as Israel attacked the hospital to begin with.
Right. And to be frank, CNN is now 3 days late to getting this story correct. Yeah. The evidence was there. It wasn't there maybe in the exact moment, but it was there within hours, if not minutes. So
one of the deliberately
overlooked this evidence.
One of the statements, and you're quoting from the New York Times, that says it takes time to independently verify the claim from all sides. In other words, they should be checking with all sides, but they obviously didn't.
Right. I mean, they published that in an article less than 24 hours after they failed to verify terrorist claims. I mean, they didn't do any groundwork, any legwork to verify that, you know, Israel was the one who launched a rocket or a missile. And then they have the audacity the next day to try and cover up what they did by saying, well, you know, it happens.
Now, you're listening to Jordan Boyd with The Federalist. The other point being is we're looking at just here in the States, but around the world, I don't know how that story has been treated, if it's been amended, updated, changed, or if that first story is still, I know it's still out there. As I often tell the audience, if I go out here with a bag of 100 feathers, throw them up in the air, and I come back tomorrow, I will never find all of them. So they're never going to get word to everybody that saw the initial report. They're living with the thought, Israel targeted a hospital.
Right, and the damage is done. I mean, even if they issue retractions or whatever, there are now people all across the Middle East hosting chaotic, violent demonstrations outside of U.S. embassies and EU embassies, calling for death to Westerners, calling for death to Israel. The corrupt corporate media should be solely responsible for that. It is their headline, their irresponsibility, their deliberate ignorance that prompted and incited and instigated violence towards the West in the Middle East.
Along that line, we had this event the other day at the Capitol office building, not actually in the Capitol, but it's all connected, that appeared, oh my God, is that a new January 6th event? And I didn't hear any of the media jumping in on that because it was the PLO enthusiast led by members of Congress who were sympathetic to PLO.
Right. I mean, there's a complete double standard here, just like there's a two-tiered system of justice in the U.S. There are people rotting in the D.C. prisons because they walked freely into the Capitol. They didn't know better. You know, they were even at an adjacent protest and never set foot in the Capitol, yet the FBI is knocking on their door. But when we have people yelling violent threats or standing with terrorists on the same ground, it's completely ignored. Completely. And as a matter of fact, we have congressmen and congresswomen standing up and echoing these lies. Rashida Tlaib got up yesterday and said Israel did an airstrike on the hospital.
Yep.
That was more than 24 hours after the original headline.
She knew
that.
That's
what I mean when I said the damage is done.
She knew that. So did Missouri Congresswoman Bush say the same thing. But facts be damned, let's go with the best lie we've got. And they did. Jordan Boyd, as always, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Jordan Boyd with The Federalist. She's also host of The Federalist, or producer, I should say, of The Federalist Radio Hour. Coming up, the latest on the hostages being released as Hamas tries to say, see, we're good people. We're nice. They need more help than we can provide. We're going to turn them loose. Make that your headline. And how many will actually deal with that as opposed to what still is happening?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about news coverage of what we're seeing and coming from the Middle East and any events. And if you believe them firsthand immediately or you question them, and question them all the time, I would suggest you question all the time. Even if it's a good, confirmed source that you've normally relied upon, be very careful. And I would hope that they're doing the same at their end to make sure they maintain their credibility. I'm telling you, with this advent of AI, artificial intelligence, we're going to see a lot of stuff come out that will appear to be a true and factual event, and yet it's not. And unfortunately, it may take a couple of misfires before we get facts put in front of us. There's a group called NewsGuard. And according to the general manager of NewsGuard, here's how he quotes what we do. He said, we rate every news outlet based on the same apolitical journalistic criteria, one which assesses whether the outlet gathers and presents information responsibly. First of all, you think you don't need a NewsGuard operation. You should be able to do it in your own house. But in many of the so-called news houses, they're spin machines. And they're doing for whatever they need to do for the party that they are appealing to. Well, the New York Times, as we were talking about how they were reporting on the hospital explosion, immediately without question, accepting the word from a group that is directly tied to Hamas, Israel did it. They hit the hospital directly with an intended precision strike on a hospital. Now, can there be misfires by Israel and make a mistake? Yes, they can. But they're also currently hitting numerous targets throughout Gaza Strip, again with precision-guided intent, knowing the targets they're after. Could they have had such an action moving and it was targeted for another spot, maybe back past the hospital where there were missiles being fired by Hamas, and it fell short or had a mistake? Yes, it could all happen. But is it not wise to get a firm understanding or at least couch it in the terms that it appears, it allegedly, this source says, That's why I always encourage young reporters coming in. Make sure you cover yourself with attribution and allegation. Attribution, naming who told you. If they told you wrong, you've named who they are. And allegations, allegedly, supposedly, it appears to be, those are caution words to say, we don't have it all locked down. This is where it stands. Now, sometimes it's used to an abusive level and a stupidity level. A guy is captured in a store. He's on video. He shoots several people in the store. Oh, I know the lefties are going to love. Oh, another gun shooting. A mass shooting. Larry's talking about, no, I'm just giving you an example. It's all on video. Several survivors say it's him. They all identify him. Everything. He can deny it till the phrase hell freezes over comes to play. Or as in St. Louis, the arch falls down. He can deny. But all the video and the witnesses that were live point to him, in addition to forensics examination of him and the weapon. But they will still say the alleged gunman. See, now that is a case where you put it in. You don't need it. It's clear this was the gunman. Now, why are there some circumstances that might be his outlet for going to prison or maybe death? Well, then you deal with that separately. But here we have NewsGuard insisting that we're going to rate every news outlet based on the same apolitical journalistic criteria. And regarding the New York Times story, one of the founders said, if a news outlet presented initial unverified reports about the bombing as factual information, and if that were part of an ongoing pattern of reporting unsubstantiated information as fact, then that could cause a news outlet to fail this criterion. He said, we're keeping close track, which, by the way, the New York Times is guilty of numerous such failures. And I would say failure in an allowance sense, when in fact it was plotted and planned. It's not a failure. They just got caught doing it. Anyway, he goes on to say, we're keeping close track of how many different outlets reported on this story, which outlets may have given more certainty than they should have to initial unverified reports. Ultimately, any changes to a publisher's score will be based on assessing this within the context of our apolitical journalistic criteria. Now, Global Disinformation Index, GDI, is another organization that has a similar mission to NewsGuard, watching those who report the facts to see if it is factual, basically. And GDI apparently had been caught red-handed advising advertising companies to financially throttle conservative media. Well, that's not doing a very good job of being unbiased, is it? The GDI has posted no new tweets since January, no post on its blog since September, after those stories came out. Not offering a response this time around when Breitbart reporters were asking about it. And you talk about not just the New York Times, but others who promote conspiracy theories based upon false information that they either know is false or they agree that there's a good reason to use it. You look at the New York Times, MSNBC, remember how they were reporting about Russiagate, the Steele dossier, ignoring the New York Post story about a Hunter Biden laptop, talking about it's fake, it doesn't exist at all. And the FBI had already sent word around to those agencies I just named, and the internet agencies, do not touch this story. It's false, and it's full of Russian propaganda. And that was breaking weeks before the Biden-Trump election. The FBI put its fist upon the ballot of voters, and they tampered with the election at that point. And 18 months after the New York Times saying, basically, our competing paper here in town, the New York Post, is wrong about the laptop and the information on it, the New York Times had to acknowledge, yes, the laptop is real, and the FBI agents telling the New York Times it wasn't. They knew it was, too. And yes, the information on the laptop is real. The FBI agents also knew that, but told them otherwise. Those of you who lived through Watergate and saw the reporting by the Watergate reporters, I'm not going to bother names because one of them has absolutely turned into the most liberal voice ever. But at that time, they were doing what appeared to be good, solid reporting. Still had questions if some might have been fabricated, but they had enough evidence that stood by itself. And certainly Nixon was guilty, along with some of his team, of things that should have raised impeachment issues with him. But this issue again about how the New York Times just ran wild with that first headline talking about the hit on the hospital, and the headline immediately stating Israeli targets or missile targets hospital, and then begins to drop the word Israeli, and then begins to change it again until finally it's just a blast at the hospital. It went from Israeli strike kills hundreds in hospital, quoting Palestinians, they acknowledged Palestinians told them that, and then to, instead of Israeli strike, just say strike kills hundreds in hospital, which indicates it had to come from Israel, to finally just blast kills hundreds in hospital. Constantly rewriting. And if they're not checking their sources, they don't know how valid the information is anyway. To that extent, a member of the IDF, and again, it's the Israeli Defense Force, was absolutely incensed that Hamas was feeding this kind of nonsense, and the Western press in particular, and elsewhere around the world, picked it up and ran with it without questioning. The Israeli defense officer stated, "It's unfortunate, it's misleading, it took a lot of time and hard work to get those headlines changed at the New York Times." And it continues. He said, "I think we're seeing around the area marches, demonstrations, riots, violence, much of it based on, how should we say, hasty reporting, jumping to conclusions." He's right on target with that. Now back to President Biden's address last night. In last night's address, President Biden spoke of leadership. I know, many of you are saying, he talked about what? Yeah, he talked about leadership. And he talked about leadership, and I know some of you are saying, what does he know about leadership? Bear with me a moment. But he also looked at something beyond leadership, things that certainly should concern you and the future.
American leadership is what holds the world together. American alliances are what keep us, America, safe. American values are what make us a partner that other nations want to work with. To put all that at risk, if we walk away from Ukraine, if we turn our backs on Israel, it's just not worth it. That's why tomorrow I'm going to send to Congress an urgent budget request to fund America's national security needs, to support our critical partners, including Israel and Ukraine. It's a smart investment that's going to pay dividends for American security for generations. Help us keep American troops out of harm's way. Help us build a world that is safer, more peaceful, more prosperous for our children and grandchildren.
And you are concerned about your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. But this budget package that he's throwing out for Congress to consider with $110 billion total involved, and out of that, $14 billion to Israel, $60 billion in direct funding to Ukraine, another $10 billion in humanitarian aid to Ukraine and around the world, $14 billion for border funding to address drug trafficking and fentanyl. That's one piece in there that's good for America. $7 billion for the Indo-Pacific Taiwan region. Now, if you're questioning $14 billion to Israel versus $60 billion, It's a theater of war and what they've already got available. It would look like it's a dismissive toward Israel. It's not necessarily that. But bottom line is, that's not going to do all of it unless you have good, proper leadership. And other nations understand that Biden is like Trump, but he's not. He's not that strong-willed, and other nations see it. You can spend all the money, but is that going to keep us safe, just spending the money? Well, obviously, if you're spending it correctly, it helps, but it's not a guarantee. Let me share a piece from CNN, an opinion column. This column written by, let me make sure I get the exact story here. This is, I don't think they name the author on this. Apparently by their editorial board, I guess, at CNN. It's not just an opinion piece. It's based on what we've seen in front of us. Yesterday, we had Yemen rockets fired on the U.S., and there were some injuries to some Americans. Not sure how severely, but no one was killed. These were American bases in Syria under fire in Iraq, and they involved drones and rockets fired, apparently, from Yemen. And, of course, President Biden had just left Israel at that point. This piece then adds, in all of this, the U.S. is careening closer to the very real possibility of direct involvement in a regional Middle Eastern war. They add that this is not the 1981 campaign to expel Saddam Hussein's campaign or army from Kuwait, nor the 2003 invasion of Iraq, both preceded by months of planning and preparation. Then the U.S. and allies determined the time, place, and scale of the attack when they would hit. And the writer says, now at best the U.S. is scrambling to respond to events largely out of its control. And this dangerous terrain, in this terrain, suddenly the vulnerabilities of the sprawling American military presence across the Middle East are glaringly obvious. Consider this. We have the U.S. and troops in northeastern, southeastern Syria. That's where Bashar Assad's army and forces from Russia, Turkey, Iran, Hezbollah, and others are all gathered, along with Kurdish militia, and still some members of ISIS. That's just in Syria. We have a military presence in Iraq, which we just discussed. And then we have those in Iran. We don't have forces in there, but we have to be worried about the Iran issue. And what this administration has been doing is carrying forward the Obama approach. Let's be friends with Iran. If we're friends with Iran, if we give them money, they'll like us better. No, they won't. You're handing them a loaded gun, and it's going to be pointed back at you. Common sense continues to elude this administration. Common sense. A child on the playground knows who's being a bully, and they know what to do. You're either going to have to fight him by yourself or get others to help you, but you can't buy him off with an ice cream because he don't want more, and he always wants more. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.